This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This is Catholic Weekend for the week ending April 11th, 2015, episode number 267. Well, howdy, y'all. It's Father Corey at the helm again. Captain Jeff's off flying. Matter of fact, most of our panel is off somewhere traveling or busy doing things. But Maria's with me this morning. How are you doing this morning, Maria?
I'm doing well. I've had a nice, relaxing week, a little bit of work, and I think I have a big drawing to do today. So we're going to have some fun giving away Margaret Rose Reilly's book.
Oh, that's right. So for those who might not have watched last week, why don't you tell them about the book again that they could win?
Right. So I asked you guys to post some comments on our page over at SQPN. And also, I opened it up on my blog as well. And so I'm giving away a copy of A Catholic Gardener's Spiritual Almanac by Margaret Rose Reilly. And gosh, I had just over a dozen people requesting the book, so we're going to be able to really draw from a nice little pool today.
Oh, very cool, very cool. So you got a hat over there to draw from?
No, actually, I'm going to do something different. I've got some playing cards.
Cool.
And so we'll do that in a minute. What have you been up to?
Oh, it's actually not been too bad a week. Of course, it's the week after Easter, so we had all my Easter celebration going on, and that was busy. It was good. I always love the Easter Vigil, the Easter Mass. I mean, they're just beautiful masses. We had a baptism at Easter, which is always a wonderful thing. Sadly, not at the Vigil. We didn't have anybody coming in at the Vigil, but we did have a beautiful, beautiful baptism there on Easter Sunday. So that's always a wonderful thing to be able to do, wonderful thing to be able to celebrate. And then I tried to kind of lay low most of the week. Tried. All that goes. A lot of priests will take the week after Easter off. I really have never been comfortable with that because it always seems like there's still things going on. I don't know when I'm going to take some time off, but sometime here in the next couple of weeks, I might disappear for a few days anyways.
Nice.
Go home, visit family or something,
I love to see the memes of the priests on Monday mornings. That they usually put some dog asleep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think there is someone who, like a black lab, that's in the typical black lab pose, which is completely passed out. it's a very busy week, and I always feel bad because parishioners are, I have parishioners inviting me for supper or Easter vigil or Easter supper or something like that. And it's just like, the only thing I want to do right now is go home, plop down on the couch, grab the remote control, and do nothing.
And zone out.
Go find some sports on the TV or something, and
the typical Thanksgiving pose after dinner, right?
Exactly. And of course,
I think that we forget that you guys might be hungry all year round. Mm-hmm. Not just at Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, and I appreciate the invitations. I always do, and I wish I could accept them more. This Sunday I didn't accept it because I had a parishioner who was dying, and I was going to go to her, go do anointing. Mm-hmm. Right after the last Mass. But it was also just, I need to get home and just kind of relax, and I need my me time. It's hard to believe, I think, for some people, but I am an introvert, and I do need that get away from me time.
I took one of those tests, one of the myriad tests that appear on Facebook about, sure, are you an introvert or an extrovert? And I think a lot of people think I'm an extrovert because I do like to go to parties and hang, mm-hmm, out and be loud and all that stuff. But really, I think I'm an introvert in terms of my need to recharge.
Exactly.
So I totally get that I get to the point where I have had my saturation with whatever is happening, and I'm done.
Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like you, and I think, you know, like when I took the Myers-Briggs, you know, that's one thing you do at seminary is they have you do personality tests like Myers-Briggs. And when I took the Myers-Briggs, I was pretty much borderline introvert, extrovert, but on the introvert side. You know, I was like a point or two inside introvert. So, I am very much introvert. I need that time when I can just kind of tune out the world for a while, you know. Just kind of say, you know, I enjoy being around y'all. I enjoy visiting. Like yesterday I went to Havre, which is a town 90 miles away. It's the town with the Walmart, you know, kind of give you an idea what Montana's like. You know, you tell us a big town, it's
That's
got Walmart.
An excursion, right? Yeah.
And I had to do some errands. So I ran to Havre, and they've got a little brew pub there that does really good job of making beer. They make some very good beer. Of course, people have watched the show and know I like my microbrews. So I went there and met up with a couple of people and sat and visited and had a good time. I enjoyed that. But I tell you what, there's times when I'm like, you know what? I don't want to see another person. I don't want to hear another person. Leave me alone. Mute the phone, you know.
You know, my life in the last several years has kind of shifted a little bit. I went back to working full time, and my husband is kind of semi-retired right now. So he stays home most of the time, and I'm the one that comes home in the afternoons. And I work with people all day. You know, I teach, and so I want to come home, and I just want to disconnect.
Exactly.
And he's waiting with dinner. Wanting to talk.
You want to catch up on the day.
You're just, all day. And I'm like, oh, remember when you used to come home and you used to just breeze past the dinner table and go and hide in front of the TV for a little while?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's me now.
Isn't that kind of the stereotypical reverse, you know, the reverse of the stereotype of the husband comes home and the only thing he wants to do is plop down on the front of the couch with a beer, and the wife is like, well, let me tell you about my day, and yep, and how was your day, yep, and the husband's like, alone. Now it's the other way around.
It is. I go for the glass of wine, not for the beer, but it's been a funny adjustment.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
But, you know, I think I tested on those things. I tested as an ambivert, and I don't think people talk about that very much.
I've never heard that term.
I have qualities. Yeah, ambi. So I have qualities of both an introvert and an extrovert.
Interesting.
But at the end of the day, can I just close the door and shut you out for just give me an hour?
Yeah, exactly. That's
don't talk to me. Don't look at me.
I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to know that anyone else exists.
You know, my first teaching assignment was, gosh, many years ago, 30 years ago, when John was in the Army. We went overseas. We were in Germany.
Oh, wow.
And I was looking for a job because I was kind of getting bored. I mean, I'd seen as much of the town that we lived in as I could, and there's only so much you can do washing around the house and stuff. So I went to work, and I got a job with the Department of Defense Dependent Schools. So
cool.
Yeah, so I worked with teachers, and I was a permanent sub, so I would go in for a long period of time to teach during an absence. And usually it was because the teacher had decided to go on a long vacation. You know, you're living overseas, you might as well go do something. And they would leave very detailed plans. It was a very easy gig to come in and teach.
Sure.
But I ended up assigned long-term to kindergarten. So
wow. Definitely not an introvert's place.
Oh, and I was a newlywed. And I would get home at night, and I would tell my poor, dear, long-suffering husband, this is my personal space bubble. Do not breach it.
Because you just had 8 hours of no personal space whatsoever, right?
Yes. So I admire all of you kindergarten teachers out there. You can just love on these little people, because I was like, oh, don't touch me. Don't look at me. Don't breathe on me.
Yeah.
It was, wow. That's why I teach college now. I got as far away from that as I
could.
There
you go. There you go. Now, at the bare minimum, you got a podium that can be between you and them, right?
Oh my.
Well, it's kind of funny, but I think one thing people mistake, those who are extroverted, mistake for introverts is we enjoy visiting with people, but to get our energy up, we need to get away from people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. And admittedly, I've met extreme introverts where they're like, if I have to look at another person ever in my life, it's a major trauma. You know, they're out there. There are not too many of them, but they're out there. But no, it's interesting. And it's kind of funny too, because I was told this before I entered the seminary. When I was starting my discernment, I was talking with the parish priest who was there at the time I was starting my discernment. And he said, you know, most priests are introverts. And I'm like, really?
Hmm.
A person who's in that kind of public position is an introvert? But usually it's true. I mean, there are some very extroverted priests, and we can all think of, you know, the very gregarious, you know, you think of like a Cardinal Dolan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Cardinal Dolan's an extrovert. He's a classic extrovert and a very gregarious one at that.
Now do you think so? Or does he go home and want to turn off the lights and tell everybody to just hold the calls?
I don't know. Maybe he's just a very, 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 very gregarious introvert. I don't know if an introvert could be like that at that kind of job, always on like that.
Hmm.
Maybe he is. I don't know.
Let's get him on the show and ask.
There we go.
Sarah would pass out.
Oh, I bet she would.
I saw him a few years ago when he was here at the Eucharistic Congress in Atlanta. He was one of the speakers. And it turns out that Greg and Jennifer Willits were broadcasting The Catholics Next Door.
Sure.
They were doing a special live broadcast. Mm-hmm. So he was their boss at the time. So he came over after his presentation and was interviewed by them, and it was hilarious because he was in his alb, and I don't know why, but I was standing next to him watching him trying to poke through the outer pocket to get into the inner pocket to get, I don't know what he was looking for. But you know, one of the things I guess that happens when you're a speaker like that is that I don't want to say handlers, but I guess he had some handlers that day. Mm-hmm. You know, to help him move around and find the, I guess, the green room for them and whatnot. Yep. And the people that were with him knew two things about him. One, that he liked lemonade, and two, that he liked popcorn. So they went, and there were vendors all over the place, and they showed up with with his popcorn. And he spent the whole interview
chomping on popcorn
and
drinking lemonade.
Chomping on popcorn. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. So should you ever be in such a public position, what would you be chomping on?
Boy, I'm not. Maybe potato chips. No. I don't know if that would be a good thing to be on the air, because at least popcorn you can kind of do quietly. Yeah, crunch. I don't know. I would probably tell them, you know, let's save the snacks till after I'm off the air.
Oh, please. Please. If they brought me chocolate, I would totally eat the chocolate right there.
Jelly Belly jelly beans.
Jelly beans. I love jelly beans.
Well, especially the Jelly Belly ones. Those are the really good ones.
Yeah. Have you had the Harry Potter ones, though?
I haven't gotten up the courage to try it.
Really?
I really haven't. I mean, I've heard they're interesting.
Some of them are nasty.
Yeah. And that's the point, you know. Disclaimer, I have read the books, and no, I'm not practicing witchcraft.
or is it Barty Botts? I can't remember what they're called.
Bernie Botts. Yeah, Wizarding Jelly Beans or something like that. Yeah, it was, and they're all kinds of interesting flavors. Yeah, you know, they're not the traditional flavors. They're like dirt and
yeah, I think I had grass once. I think it was grass that I had, and it was just, oh.
Yeah.
You just can't get it out of your... I think of poor Dumbledore when he said, earwax.
Yeah, exactly. Who would want to be the tester for that? How do you develop
to verify the taste?
Yeah. Oh, yes, that tastes like the last time I got sick and threw up.
Oh, vomit in my mouth. That's a flavor.
Mm.
Oh, we just went gross.
Yeah.
Man. Well, shall we do the drawing?
Yeah.
We gotta do it
like a, you know, a regular TV show, and we'll do it right after this break. Since we're having a short show, we should have a quick break to do some, you know, promote our sponsors, and you know, and we gotta, you know, increase the tension, you know, people waiting, those watching. But we should actually, you know, do a little quick promotion here for, of course, the Amazon store at SQPN, where you can click on the link there from SQPN.com and purchase all your good stuff from Amazon, and SQPN will get a little cut of the proceeds. It's doesn't cause your cost to go up any. You pay the same price whether you click the link or not, but it does help out SQPN to put on these shows and to do the work that it does. So we hope you'll support SQPN by doing that. Of course, you can also support through donations from SQPN. You can also do Bluehost. Now, Maria, are you one of the ones that uses Bluehost?
No, Sarah and Steve are on Bluehost. I'm kind of committed for a minute, but it looks like I'm going to be switching over very soon.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I'm on another provider as well, and I need to consider doing that. I've been pretty happy with my provider. They've been pretty good. But, you know, of course, Bluehost does, when you sign up a new account with Bluehost, they do give SQPN a little cut as well to thank them for promoting them. So please do consider that as well. If you're looking for web hosting or, you know, for a blog or a podcast or anything like that, please do consider Bluehost. And one of, you know, they do help us out as well. And of course, one of the things SQPN does do is the CNMC coming up here in just a couple of months here in June, first weekend of June. We're going to have the CNMC down in Atlanta. We're doing a lot of preparations. Matter of fact, we've got a board meeting after this for that. So please do mark that on your calendar and sign up for it and plan on joining us down there as we look at the new media and how you can use it and where we've been and where we're going. So there, I think we got it all in.
All right.
So now let's have the big drawing.
All right. So let me tell you what I'm going to do. We've got two sites that have entries. So we have the Catholic Weekend page over at SQPN, and we also have my blog. So I've got some cards, and there are 14 people who have put their names into the pot. So I'm going to shuffle this deck, and it has from Ace to Kings and two Jokers in the deck. All right, so Joker's going to be the 14th person, and we're going to start counting, and I'm shuffling here. You can hear me shuffle. And I'm going to start counting at the Catholic Weekend page with number one at the top, and then we'll see what number pops up, okay? So here's Excellent. What we're going to do.
Good fair way to do it.
Here's the deck. And I've got a pile here and a pile there. So why don't you tell me to stop at some point?
Okay, why don't you stop there?
Stop here. What do we have?
Queen of Hearts.
We have a Queen of Hearts. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over to SQPN and count 1, 2, 3, because we had three people there. And then we're going to keep going on my website. So I'm at my website right now at the bottom, because we're going in the order that the people have signed in. So, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Jack, Queen, is Melissa Cecilia. So Melissa Cecilia is the winner of Margaret Rose Reilly's book, A Catholic Gardener's Spiritual Almanac.
Congratulations.
Cool. All right, so I'll be emailing you. I think I can get that. I can access that stuff off of the registration for the comments. And Melissa Cecilia is the winner. Congratulations. You're going to like the collections.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. So I can't remember. Did you talk a little bit about the book itself?
I did. What Margaret did is she's put together a combination of what the church calendar is with the actual annual calendar, and matches some planting hints as well as some spiritual reflection to go with the season. So it goes through the church seasons as well as the natural seasons, and it's a really neat combination. In fact, John was just looking at it earlier, because we're starting to plant a little bit for later in the summer, and I'm just looking forward to it. Our azaleas are blooming, my tulips and my what are those yellow flowers that come out in the spring?
Around here it's called dandelions, but
no. tons of dandelions. Anyway, we've had a nice wave of flowers that have popped through, and we're going into a second wave. We've got my strawberries are out of control. My raspberries and boysenberries are starting to show signs of life. And the other day I was taking my coffee out in the backyard, and I saw that the blueberries were filled with bees. And so that's always a good sign. So I think I'll be picking strawberries next month. And in June, when you guys get here, we'll be able to go into the backyard and pick some blueberries, I think.
Mm, yum, yum.
So, yeah, that's super cool.
Love fresh berries.
So enjoy the book. We'll be popping it in the mail. I think that I saw a comment from Margaret earlier this week that she said she'd sign it. So I think it's going to be delayed a little bit because I'm going to send it up to Margaret for her to sign the book.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Well, very good.
Yeah.
Well, since we said we're doing a short show, should we get on to our pick of the week here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Did you have one picked out?
I do. I have a pick of the week. I have to go to it here on Facebook because I actually linked to it in Facebook. I was reading my news feed this morning, and I ran across a fantastic article about a young woman named Lauryn Hill, who was a high school basketball player. I was a high school basketball player, so immediately that kind of drew me to that. And she's suffering from a brain cancer, a brain tumor, that has really impacted her, well, certainly impacting the longevity of her life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know that my book, My Badass Book of Saints, I hate to say that title like that. This young woman, Lauryn Hill, just got an honorary doctorate from, I want to get the name of the college right. She got an honorary degree from the school, I think, that she's attending, and she played basketball there. Where is it? Gosh. Mount St. Joseph University.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. And,
so I'm gonna post that article that talks about her and what an inspiration she is. And I really posted about it because there's so many great stories about these badass women out there, and men too, but you know, that's the whole story behind what my book is about. And this is one that didn't make it into the book. So.
Oh, wonderful.
Story.
Yeah, it is. It's wonderful story. I've read a little bit about it, and it's just good example. And especially in this time when, you know, people are so quick to say, well, I'm not going to have a quality of life, so let's just end it.
Oh, gosh, I know that young woman who did. Tragic story. Yeah, so yeah, very inspiring stories. So that's my pick of the week.
Oh, wonderful. Great pick of the week. And my pick of the week is actually an Indiegogo campaign. Now, if you're not familiar with like Indiegogo, it's like Kickstarter. You know, Kickstarter is this thing where you can contribute to a project, some, you know, maybe an art project or a product that somebody's coming out with, a computer program, a game, something like that. Well, Indiegogo is similar, but it's towards campaigns. So, if, you know, let's say, for example, like this Lauryn Hill, you know, she could start an Indiegogo campaign to help raise money for her care. Well, in this case, it's called Peanut Butter and Grace. And what their subtitle is Helping Parents Raise Catholic Kids. It's a group of videos and books and pamphlets and so on that parents can use to help, first of all, themselves learn the faith, but then pass that on to their parent or to their kids.
Oh, great.
Yeah. You know, and I, as a pastor, I see so much that the parents as much need to learn as the kids do. And and I wonder if, and kind of their point on this Indiegogo campaign is that if the parents aren't uncomfortable passing on the faith because they don't understand it and they don't know where to go and how to do it, how to raise the kids, you know, or how to pass it on to the kids. So this is a bunch of resources, a bunch of materials that they can use to pass it on, you know, again, to learn themselves and then to pass it on to their kids. It's really not doing very well. They had a goal of $10,000. They're only at about $1,700 with about 4 days left. It, you know, it's a 30-day campaign, and they have about 3 days or 4 days left out of that 30 days. It is something, though, that they will get the money regardless. You know, so if they only raise $2,000, they'll get $2,000. But obviously, we want the, you know, I want to help encourage them to reach their goal. And so I encourage everyone to take a look at that. Again, it's PB and Grace, helping parents raise Catholic kids. And it's done actually by the husband of the ironic Catholic, if you've ever read that blog. I'm not even going to try to pronounce their Jerry Windley Doust is, I think I just completely tortured their name.
Better you than me.
But, you know, the Ironic Catholic is a blog I used to read all the time. She hasn't been as active as she used to be, but her husband is the one that's doing this work and doing all the editing. And I mean, it's kind of a self-run project, but they need money to help publish the books, help get artists to do work for the books. Yes, they're actually going to pay for their artists. They're not going to try to do the, well, give us free exposure type of thing. So anyways, I encourage you to take a look at that. I think it's a very worthwhile campaign when there's so much junk out there that's being promoted as on these Indiegogo and Kickstarter and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's good to see one that can really help people grow in their faith, help people raise their kids as Catholics, because it's such a cliche, but it's true. The kids are the future of the church. And if we're not raising them, we're not going to have a very large church, and we're not going to have a very effective church without people to actually run it. You know, kind of need to have people.
Well, you know, it's kind
of
radical. I've seen some radical folks out there who've even suggested that we need to eliminate, you know, the CCD or the PSR classes and catechize the parents and catechize the adults, and that'll take care of it. But that may be too radical at the moment.
I think it's a little too. I kind of sort of agree with it, because really the parish should be focusing more on the adults than the kids. Uh-huh. You know, when you look at the documents from the Vatican, from the USCCB, and so on, that's what they say. But at the same time, we still need to be teaching the kids, you know. And so this is a good way, I think, that parents can do it, because ideally parents are the first teachers of their kids. Mm-hmm. They really are. It's through their example, through their teaching. Yeah. So anyways, encourage that. That's my pick of the week, is that wonderful campaign. Hopefully we can get them funded, or at least get them some more money. You know, get it going up there pretty good over the next couple of days.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. So where can we find you, Father?
Well,
who are searching beyond the sleeping lab.
Yeah, I'm at frcory.org, frcory.org is my website. That's where I post my homilies. That's where I post, mostly just my homilies right now. I haven't been doing a lot of blogging. I do have it set up for blogging. I just don't do it. I admit it. I'm lazy. I haven't done anything in a long time. I need to get writing. And then you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those kind of fun things at Fr. Corey Sticha, last name spelled Sticha. And how about you, Maria?
Well, I'm on Twitter as Bego, Bego, and you can also find me on Facebook and my blog, Another Cup of Coffee, which is begojohnson.com. And I've been chasing the 100 Days Project, which is pick something to do for 100 days to find the joy in it. And so I've been trying to post a poem a day.
Oh, wonderful.
Today's poem was more like a flash fiction than a poem. But anyway, there's some fun stuff there. Some of it's good. Some of it is abysmal. But it's there.
That's a good idea. I like that. That's 100 days. I wouldn't try to put up poetry. Anybody who's familiar with science fiction knows Vorgon poetry from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's kind of what mine would sound like. Not a good thing. Let's just put it that way.
Well, no, you need to take your towel with you. You never know when you're going to need it, right?
Exactly. And always remember, 42 is the meaning 42. Of life, universe, and everything. So a couple of sci-fi geeks here.
Maybe I'll name tomorrow's poem 42.
There you go.
Well, so, goodbye, and thanks for all the fish, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and hope to see you next week for Catholic Weekend.
Don't forget to say God bless.
Oh, yes, God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.